Basic witches.
Basic witches.
I mean, we're witches.
Basically.
Welcome back, witches. I'm Rachel LaForest.
And I'm Leah Knauer. And today in the studio, straight from Albright Collective, we have Natasha Hildebrand.
She's the VP, GM, boss, yes. Witch.
Oh my gosh.
Of all the U.S. operations for Albright, which is an all-women collective you'll hear so much about on this episode. Mm-hmm. Very inspiring.
And we got to go on a hard hat tour a few months ago of what will be the new West Hollywood Albright space. And it was beautiful. Beautiful. They're really building something awesome there, and they have them all over the country and all over different countries. So be sure to check it out if it's something you're interested in.
Yes, and we're excited to announce a little promotion of an all-female run brand, Bitchin' Cross Stitchin'.
Yes. So I made a stitch that says Witch Please on it, and it's a one of a kind, and I'm going to sell it. So we're going to post it on the Basic Witches page, and if whoever the lucky witch that buys it, we will give a free reading to.
Yes.
So yeah, be sure to check that out. We've also been having some crazy synchronicities lately.
Next level, guys.
Okay, there's a few. So we'll start. I told all y'all a few weeks ago about Ariana Grande. I bought these tickets off Craigslist. They were $400 that turned out to be a scam. I knew they were a scam, but I was fucking set on going to that concert.
Yes.
So I brought my friend Tessa and I told her the whole deal. Like, we might not get in, but let's just go try to have fun and like, we'll find our way. So go to the venue, slammed some PBRs in the car, and then went got told that the tickets were fake.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. But so then I turned around and there was a Q102 tent just right there. And so then I was like, Tessa, I'm going to go see like if something's going on. So turns out they had just announced a sing-off competition. So naturally I entered it and I had to pee so, so, so bad, but it was worth it. And then I fucking won. I won the sing-off,
yes,
and I
witch.
Won two floor seats to Ariana Grande. I still did get scammed the $400, but like I made more value in the tickets that I won and they were better seats. And like, especially after taking Gala Darling's Radical Rituals Abundance course, I like just finished that and like seeing how much value and abundance was coming into my life in different forms. Like it doesn't have to be just cash money. Mm-hmm. It's like the universe paid me back with those tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, it still feels so surreal. I can't believe that I went to the concert.
And I'd like to point out that I think it has to do with how aligned you've been. You've been like taking care of yourself. The reason you even wanted to see Ariana is because you relate so much to her message of like being an empowered woman and not needing a man, but like appreciating yourself and all these things. And you had a gracious attitude where you were like, I know I got scammed, but you were never like super negative about that. You were just like, this sucks that this happened, but I still want to figure it out and go. So like can do attitude and you fucking made it happen. Determination.
So crazy. It's
yes.
So crazy.
Then speaking of Gala Darling, who you guys are so lucky we are going to have on the show.
Oh my God, she's such a queen. Well, so yeah, then yesterday, this was wild. We sent her an email asking her to be on the podcast. Then her assistant responded within like a few minutes and was like, she's so down, whatever. And then literally 5 minutes later, I ran into her like randomly at a coffee place. And I went up to her and I was like, are you Gala? And then I was just like, I'm the basic witch that just emailed you. And we hugged. And it was like so crazy. We took a picture. And I kept telling her, like, I can't believe how aligned I am. Like, things like this keep happening. She was like, you're in the vortex, baby.
Yes.
She was New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
But it was so cool.
I'm so excited to have her on. We've both been doing her abundance workshop, so you guys are going to keep hearing about it. I know you've heard little bits, but you'll hear even more.
She's incredible.
And then I had a crazy synchronicity. As you'll hear on the episode, I just came back from a trip to my home in Ohio, where I grew up, and I ran into the director of a show I wrote for out here. And turns out, so multi-level, turns out his like closest friend growing up married my uncle. We never knew each other until I get hired to write for this TV show. Like no relation, no crossover. And then only now, like a year after that show came out, did we even realize this. But anyways, his like best closest friend, whose mother was his creative mentor his whole life, married my uncle. So we have this major connection we didn't know. And then we end up on the same flight back to LA. Like so random. We're both even in Ohio at the same time. Mm-hmm. He was working on a project. I was there for Mother's Day, like unrelated. And I had this whole work, this multi-month project with this person, not knowing that we have a connection in the past. And it just kind of reminds me that like life is these tangled threads that are just unwinding. And it's like, you're always going to end up where you're meant to be, mm-hmm. I believe. And it's like, it's so cool to get to see those hindsight connections. So I'm appreciating that this week. Synchronicity.
And a lot of people have been popping into our DMs telling us about their synchronicities, which we love. So please keep doing that. It's like my favorite thing to talk about, like seeing how these little quote coincidences mm-hmm. can show you such meaning in your own life.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Speaking of people writing in, we did notice one review that was talking about, you know, how we address our cycles as women a lot on the podcast. And, we just wanted to share that we totally understand whether you bleed or not, whether you actively have a cycle or maybe you don't, you are a woman. Mm-hmm. If you identify as a woman. And what we just want to help teach people is that you can get in touch more with your cycle. And there is some superpowers in that, whether you're bleeding or not. Mm-hmm. To us, it's all about going within and just appreciating your body for whatever state it's at.
Yes. Even if that's just emotions. Yeah. I have an IUD, so I don't even get my period that often.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been irregular and bouncing around, which is why I even got into the work of tracking my cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to cover that up, but please enjoy this episode with Tosh. I think you guys are gonna freaking love it and love her. Have a great day.
That's a love it.
One.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Have a great day. I loved it.
Well, there's that great story of Mel Gibson who was shooting in, I don't know, it was like somewhere in the Philippines or somewhere like that. Anyway, he bought a fake Rolex knowing it was a fake Rolex, and he gave it to his assistant, and assistant didn't know the difference. Yeah. The assistant sent it into Rolex and it was broken, and Rolex was like, oh shit, like sorry, Mr. Gibson, you've actually been sold a fake Rolex. Let us replace it for you. And gave him a brand new Rolex instead.
I always feel like that about celebrities. It's like they get in free, like I work at a yoga studio and sometimes it's just like, let Paris Hilton walk in because it's Paris Hilton. That's not a real example, but like
just come into like, your life.
They are literally the people who don't need things for free. Right. And then it's like, once you get up there, everything's free. Right.
That's like, I'm sure. I mean, I was a trainee at CAA and it was amazing the amount of free things I would have to deliver to people that I was like, this, what's in my car right now is more valuable than the car itself.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm transporting it to, you know, some beautiful home somewhere.
Wow.
Oh,
so that's so cool.
So how did you get from CAA to where you are now?
So started as an assistant as a baby and then went into
the baby. Yeah.
It feels like it. And then I went into the trainee program, which is like basically their version of very light hazing, we'll call it that.
Oh, wow.
But not really. I mean, it's like where you get to go into the bottom of the building and kind of learn it from the bottom up, literally.
Okay.
And so you get a lot of exposure for a lot of different people. Yeah. I was in marketing and I fell in love with it. And I loved like being able to tell brand stories and all of that.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting because when I came out, I was like a junior executive and I was the only female creative in a team of 20 men.
Wow.
And I'm fortunate enough that nothing bad per se happened. Yeah. But what did happen is that I felt oftentimes I was the token female on the team overheard a lot, which I mean, we all have as women, you know, in terms of being in savory situations. And I was also told at certain points when I had issues with certain team members that it was a female problem.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
I
and yeah.
How did
and
you so, deal?
So, and I, you know, I was 25 and you're, wow. Sometimes I still think I'm finding my voice, but I was very much still finding my voice.
Totally.
Then, and I felt really suffocated in a way and not, and I wasn't even sure. I think, I don't know, don't even know if I had the language to kind of express that. I just knew that I was really frustrated.
But also, we were so used to that.
Exactly.
So up until used to that. Just this year, basically.
Yes. That, yeah.
And a whole. And I do think, because a lot of those men that are on those teams, I actually am still friendly with now. And I think that half of them probably didn't even know.
Right. Totally. Which,
and I don't want to
excuse certain behavior. That's a huge problem. But yeah.
But yes, it's so socialized they don't even realize that it's inappropriate or what they were saying.
Yeah.
I think now everybody's on a massive watch, obviously, as they should be.
Yes.
But I left and I remember thinking, like, I had no female mentors at CIA. Mm-hmm. I had nobody to turn to. I had nobody that I felt like I could ask the questions of. And so I then went on into fashion, which was its own ball of wax. And I was doing marketing. Then I went on to another team, where I finally had the opportunity to work in a way that I wanted to work. I had a female boss who was not the easiest, unfortunately. But I had a male boss as well that actually was put me in front of a lot of different rooms. And one of the projects that got to put together was with Annie Leibovitz and Gloria Steinem.
Oh, my God.
So
casual.
Yeah, so which was kind of game-changing for me, because even in that environment in my office, it was not a supportive environment. Mm. It was kind of like, you figure it out, you do it, you fight for it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But with this project, so it was with UBS, we took it around the world. Annie reprised her work with Susan Sontag called Women. And in each city, we started in London, went all the way through, we ended in Zurich, but like Tokyo and Mexico City and Frankfurt. Annie brought in Gloria and we did these talk circles. Well, Gloria did these talk circles with these women, and you had women that were based on UBS was the sponsor, so they brought in a lot of their top clients. Some of these women that had literally billions of dollars, with these women that had...
What is UBS? I don't actually
It's
know.
A bank.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those big banks. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I act as if, like, by the way, I didn't like it was before I did it, too. A big Swiss bank that's very, like, fancy and, like, all of that stuff.
So they're bringing in billionaire women?
Women that are clients with these women that Gloria would bring in from different organizations, some of which were like... Well, for one example, which I was in tears about, is the first woman ever to give birth. She has HIV, and she was the first woman ever to give birth to a non-HIV child.
Whoa.
Based on you know, science and
intervention.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. In Africa. So you have these women that come from this level and the women that come from this level, and they were coming together. And it was it didn't matter the dollars in their bank account or what label they were wearing, is they were coming together over motherhood, over life experience, over change. And it was kind of like, I remember exactly where it was, exactly when it was a seminal moment for me of like, oh wait, women can support one another.
Yeah.
We don't have to be threats to one another.
Yep. It's so powerful. It's such a difference.
So
it's
powerful.
It changed my whole life. I remember what I was wearing, you know, like, I mean, that makes it kind of like, whatever.
I remember that moment for me too. And I learned it as mudita, which is like an Eastern word for the opposite of Schadenfreude. So Schadenfreude is like taking joy in someone's discomfort or like downfall.
Right.
And then mudita is taking joy in someone's success and pleasure, like feeling good about someone else feeling good.
That's my new favorite word.
Yes.
I've never mudita.
Yes.
It's not just German, like,
it's
though.
Spelled. It's no, it's a
Sanskrit?
Something Eastern. Yeah, maybe Arabic.
My God, I love that.
And that happened for me with this team, with this all-female musical improv team. And then I was like, oh my God, I tapped into that. And I was like, that feels so much better than the whole way I've been living my life. Like, it literally feels good to me to see them shining.
Yeah. Like, and then you're happier, and then they see that you're happy for them. So then they want to support you.
Yeah.
And then energy. It's like, a forever feeding cycle of positivity.
Yeah. And then we talk a lot about this book, Pussy, by Regina Thomasauer.
Have you read it?
Like, you've probably
you gotta. But now I need to go buy it.
Yes, so good. But there's a big chapter, at least one, and it's kind of a recurring theme of how when we lift each other up as women, it's just like this metaphysical power and like energy that raises. That's you can feel it. Like,
I remember feeling. I mean, I still kind of feel this to an extent, but in the stand-up world, it's obviously very misogynistic, and I always felt so held back at the beginning of doing comedy, because like I would see these guys that started comedy at the same time as me, but they would be asked to go on the road by these bigger comedians because they were a guy. And if they ask me, then that means they want to sleep with me. And then do I have to sleep with them?
Yep.
And then, so they didn't feel comfortable going with a girl. So they ask a guy. And it's like, I've kind of changed my shift. I don't do stand up as much, so it's worked out. But it did kind of feel just like, okay, so I'm just alone and I have to work at this alone, because at the time also it felt like there weren't high up female comedians. Yeah. So it's not like they could ask young women comedians to go on the road. So it was just like, I'm so glad it's changing.
Yeah.
Finally. And I mean, I think it's one of those things that I've said from us, and I stole this from somebody else that's been around. I think it was a psychologist, a male psychologist actually, that said it in the 1920s, but you cannot be what you do not see, you know? And so if you can't relate to somebody, you're not seeing the female comedians. For me, I didn't see those female executives, you know, and I didn't see people. Yeah. Then how would you know that it even exists?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you can extrapolate that across a variety of different things. Totally. Male, female, actually, doesn't matter, but it's a really powerful thing.
Yeah. So then how did you go from that pivotal moment to landing at Albright?
Yes. So there was quite a bit in between in that, you know, I think realizing that women can support women, sitting in that for a second, and then being at a really interesting life point in myself, going through some personal stuff, my former business partner and I were like, well, let's just start a dinner series of women that don't know one another. We're going to start it in my living room. there's a couple rules. You can't be friends. So all our friends hated us for a little while. And it has to be through a connection of a connection. And then we're going to have a woman at the top of her field come speak for the evening.
Cool.
And it started, it was amazing because we had this woman who I had worked with kind of, but she was in a really well-known entertainment executive, or entertainment attorney.
Oh, cool.
And she's an amazing story where she's adopted, she's had kids, and she, none of us really knew each other that well. And she comes into my house and we're all kind of like looking around like, okay, how are we going to kick this off? We had no structure. And she's in her late 50s, and she looks around and she goes, are you ever fucking tired?
Oh, yes.
And the whole room just started. Yes. Everybody's like, yes, I'm tired. We can all relate to being tired.
Yeah.
There are women that have kids, partners, whatever, dogs. It doesn't matter. Yeah. We can all and that is kind of how we started. It was my former company called Doyen. And that is basically what we ended up building for the next 2 years. So
does that word mean something?
So it Doyen. It's French for a woman at the top of her field.
Love it. So. Okay, cool.
Which is one of still one of my all time.
Je suis une doyenne.
Yes.
Absolument. C'est vrai.
Du français.
Un peu.
I want to speak it, but I do not know.
Your accent is perfect. That's what my mother actually sounds like.
Merci. Wait, your mother's French?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
But if you ask her, she says she's American with that accent, by the way.
That's so funny.
I'm American.
Yeah. You're like, okay, mom, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So we basically from there decided to do loads of dinners and workshops and programs and bringing different women from different backgrounds together.
Wow.
So we did partners, or we had women such as Gloria Steinem come and speak for us or with us.
This is what I feel is like the next move. So I just came back from a week in Ohio where I'm from, for my sister's bachelorette, and she's on this level. She's running this thing called Woman Speak. Have you heard of Woman Speak?
It sounds familiar.
It's like getting together in a woman's living room, people that don't know each other.
It's in different states, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all across. You can basically get trained online and then host them in different areas. And it's
awesome.
All women run and led. And it's to help women with their voices to speak, like to public speak in whatever career you're in. Yep. But, you know, it can transform your life if you can speak in front of people. And that's huge for women. Like
opening your throat chakra.
Yeah. And that is... it's mind blowing how that's connected to like our womb and everything. And so important. Mm-hmm. And we've been oppressed. We've been silenced. Like this is so important to speak. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I think this next wave is connection. Like I just feel so strongly that it's about like, I have this visual of like a web forming of women connecting in like the whole world.
Cool.
And that to me is like the next wave of like just making all these little connections until we're like so strong.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because when you get that overlap, then we're like, we can lift up. And
totally.
And you're doing that. Like,
it's the collective. I think, you know, oftentimes, so now fast forward a little bit, we did that. Mm-hmm. We built a business. Mm-hmm. We wanted to scale it. It made the most sense to sell the business and kind of go with a bigger partner, which is how we got acquired by Albright.
Okay.
And Albright is a collective of women's clubs. We've got a digital education platform, a as well as a variety of other. We've got a magazine, which we've got here. Mm-hmm. The founders, a book that just came out. Yeah. We're starting a retail line.
Cool.
We are about to sign our lease on a club in New York.
So for listeners, the main thing that y'all do is have workspaces, right? For women. So you want to describe?
Yeah. So it's actually not really workspaces.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's much more of a club. So we've got a full restaurant, we've got a full bar, and then we do loads of programming on what I like to say is shit you Google late at night that nobody talks about. So it's everything from how to get a divorce to how do I start a balance sheet if I want to start a business? How do I raise money? To I need to figure out my childcare situation. Should I get a nanny? Can I afford it? Is it daycare? How do I get my kid into school here?
So life.
Life. Right. Life that you need to get from humans versus Google. Like, how do I save money to buy a house? What's a mortgage? Because I certainly didn't know any of that when I went through this whole process.
Yeah, we were never taught that.
Mm-hmm. Ever. So all of that. So that's a lot of the programming you do. Plus, you know, wine tasting. Cocktail
and
making.
Spa services.
And like, we're talking to a big diamond company about a diamond workshop right now.
Oh my gosh, cool.
So like, things like that.
Fun stuff.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's, you know, the macro versus the micro. Or I guess all of it could be macro, but it's, we're some of many parts as women. But to what you were saying, I think it's creating those moments for us to come together and as much as possible, because a rising tide will lift all boats.
Yes.
And I think for us, we constantly think about it as, you know, we have to work from a policy perspective. Obviously, we have to have change. And like, this last election was so great in terms of getting more women in office.
Yeah.
But it's also really important to come up from the grassroots and from us within these little quiet circles that don't always have a microphone, that don't always have a moment, because women gain support from both. And once we kind of meet in that middle, that's when we're going to have that critical mass shift point.
Yes.
Hopefully find parity.
Hope so. I mean, again, like being on this trip to Ohio, which is just the Midwest, but it's so different from LA. And I'm sure in your travels you see this, but it's like, oh no, I'm reminded of how far we have to go with misogyny and these, like we were saying, these men and people who, a lot of women too, don't even know that they're part of the patriarchy.
Yeah. That's like 100%. Oh. 100%. Yeah. I mean, you see it all the time.
Where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Oh, you are.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's the best reaction I can get. It's like, I love when people
no
think
one can
I'm
believe
not.
It.
I
know.
You're so special.
You are.
Born
did
and
you,
raised.
Did you ever leave or were you?
I went to New York for a couple of years.
Reverse commute.
Yeah, I did the reverse commute, did that. I lived in Paris for a year. My family was there.
Okay, amazing.
And I'm actually about to move back to New York in the fall of this year.
Oh, we're so glad we got you while you're here.
I'll be back a lot.
Okay.
But the business is the headquarters are moving over there. So
cool.
Jump with them.
So what's your position now in Albright? I don't know if I grasp that.
No. So it's VP and GM of the US.
Okay.
So I get to kind of oversee a lot of the business operations.
Oh, yes.
Boss witch.
I knew you were. Bitch, but whoa.
Yes. Like, number one, like, cheerleader is like the other one, basically. It's
just,
you know, bringing women together as much as possible.
Yeah.
So awesome. That's what we try to do.
Because you invited us on the tour, the hard hat tour of the WeHo one. And I mean, it was still just, you know, a lot of construction happening.
Still is.
But I can see, like, the rooftop was amazing.
Gorgeous.
It was beautiful. I'm very excited to see it.
It's going
to
be gorgeous. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful home. It's going to be, you know, an opportunity for women to kind of escape a little bit, have some quiet nooks. Really good cocktails, really good wine, all female winemakers. We're trying to have as many female vendors as possible in the space.
Yeah, so cool.
And it's, you know, made by women for women, top to bottom. And we actually do allow men in the club as well, because we do believe in enlightened men.
Yeah, love that.
We all know them. We were introduced by one.
Yes.
You know, it's important to include them in the conversation, both from business and from a personal standpoint too.
Does Albright focus at all on that? Because I've, like, on educating men, bringing men who maybe aren't enlightened over. I want to start, like, gaining more tools for that when I end up in these conversations with men who are racist or misogynistic, and without knowing.
But I guess, how do you get them to go? Because that would mean that they're admitting that they are that way.
I know. It's so hard.
It's hard, but it's interesting. So we, for the longest time, we only did female dinners. And we had a partner dinner with a brand, actually about a month and a half ago, pretty big brand. We decided for the first time to invite men into the conversation. And it was with a woman named Maria Itell, who is the co-founder and co-chair of the Nike Foundation.
Wow.
She's one of the founders of Time's Up as well. She's incredible.
Cool.
And she she was kind of the catalyst for the conversation and then also the moderator, if you will. It was maybe 30 of us at somebody's home, literally around a fire.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yes.
It was amazing. And we were all, especially, you know, the Albright side of like, okay, let's see how the men are going to respond to this.
Yeah.
And so Maria started asking questions, and they were pretty pointed questions about what's happened in the past couple months or years, I should say. And at first you literally saw all the guys sitting on their hands, and then she literally pinpointed a few of them, and she's like, so, you know, XYZ, what do you think about this? And they stumbled, or this guy stumbled a bit, and then the minute he got going, it was like the floodgates were open, and then all of a sudden this insane conversation started with all of the men jumping in, saying, being really honest, being like, we don't know what to say. Like, I have three sisters, doesn't matter, I consider myself really, you know, I believe in parity, but like, I've caught myself saying things that are not right, but now I'm scared to say certain things for fear of getting, you know, completely smacked for saying the wrong thing, but I'm a good guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing because I do think men want opportunity to have those conversations and to be vulnerable and to maybe say the wrong thing and then to be given the chance to make it right.
That's a step in the right direction, is saying the wrong thing and like being open to hearing what the right thing to say is.
Yeah. And I think that is probably the biggest thing that I think we need now is giving people the tools, men and women, to your point, to be able to talk about this intelligently and productively instead of everybody being in a corner and being scared about it.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if this is just like, maybe this is my strong suit, or maybe it's because I'm a Scorpio, so I'm like a deep water sign, but for
Cancer.
Me, oh nice, oh love you,
she's a sweetie,
also a water sign, but for me I feel like it usually boils down to emotion, and I find that, you know, men haven't been fostered to feel those emotions or talk about emotions.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm kind of thinking maybe that's the place for me to start, is like find one-to-one relationships where I can help men start to talk about emotion.
Definitely.
I don't know if that's just me or if that's an overall wave. Like,
I think it is, because I think I have a couple friends that have young sons now that are a year, 2 years old, and some of their books that I see they're reading are like, it's okay to feel.
Like, that's good.
Or like, how do I feel? So giving names to emotions at a really young age, like that's angry, that's sad, that's, you know, whatever it might be. And I was just in New York and I saw these books on actually her son's bedside table. And I was super happy to see them. Because it was a little boy about little boys, you know?
Good.
It's not just about little girls and like princesses and ponies.
It was like specifically addressing that to change that.
Exactly.
That's so great.
So I think it's starting, you know, and I think it's, and because I think obviously with social media, it's hopefully going a little faster than it has in the past.
But
we have a lot of work to do still.
I know. Like, what about, I mean, I'm just thinking of like huge areas of the country that don't get this information from what I see. Like,
podcasts really do help with that. And like social media is like spreading, because information is always traveling on the internet.
I just feel like there's voids in areas like the South or something. I guess I also just watched Green Book. So I'm like, which is the true story, you know, about this black jazz pianist who purposely goes on a tour through the Deep South to try to set an example that at that time in the 50s, I think, that like, you know, he was very respectful and he used nonviolent communication. He was trying to set an example to teach people down there. But I just feel like it's kind of the same with women's rise right now and reaching people who seriously, it seems, don't believe we're equal.
I mean, you look at today with Alabama and Georgia, you know, it's absolutely bonkers.
I know. Feels like you're living in the past.
Honestly, it's Handmaid's Tale is real.
We talk about that all the time.
You know, I mean, it feels like it's happening at least.
Yeah.
And these are in pockets of the country that are
the
same country.
That scares me so much.
And it's insane to think that is, that you've got, you know, an entire, I forgot how many it was, but 20 white men that are voting against women's, you know, biology and life against horrible situations.
I hate feeling helpless too, because I hear both those states' news and it's just like, okay, well, what do we do? It just feels like it's too late, because you guys are the government. You've already passed it. So I don't live there. And it just feels so like, so
helpless.
Do we just take this? Like, what?
I think what you guys are doing now, I mean, to your point, right? If you think about the internet and podcasts, I think there's this expression that's happening. And if you're providing information, if you think about information is knowledge and knowledge is power, because if you power to make the choice, and ideally if democracy works like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Not always the case here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then the more people that know about those choices will make, be, you know, there and then make the choices to have those
speak
people out of
and
office
vote.
And then hopefully turn over those votes.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen, again, a little bit of that. You look at, you know, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, mm-hmm. these women that have finally are beginning to, you know, come into office mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
These women that represent us.
Yeah.
And they're
that's
finally
true.
In there. And those women are all going to scale. They're
yeah.
all going to become far more, you know, and senators, hopefully.
I mean, basically
it.
On every level, it's like you experienced at CAA. You were mm-hmm. one woman amongst 20 men. Mm-hmm. It's like we really, and this is what Albright's doing, we really have to place women in all positions more all around. Like, that's not extreme. We literally need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to fill as many roles as possible with women, I think, until mm-hmm. it shifts.
It's there's this amazing stat or sad stat or mm. a stat, I guess. Let's see how you guys feel.
Yeah.
of boards, right? So if you look mm-hmm. at the board mm-hmm. structure of the U.S., I don't know the exact stat, but basically I think it's like there's only, oftentimes there's not even one female on a board.
Yeah.
However, now people are trying to have, there's a lot of mandates out there in like the tech world and different mm-hmm. companies mm-hmm. To have at least one female board member. Great, fine. However, they often say that if you have one female board member on there, oftentimes she doesn't speak up because she's
token.
She's
yeah.
the token woman
yep.
and she's not listened to. If you
yep.
have two women board members, oftentimes then the other men are like, oh, well, they're ganging up on me. And
it's
women against
God.
Men and then, you know, sexism, blah, blah, blah. You need three female board members in order to create an
yep.
equal pointed conversation.
Yep. Interesting. And I saw that same thing talked about in Michael Moore's movie, Where to Invade Next. And they
yeah.
were in Iceland. They were talking because
yes,
in
yes.
Iceland, this bank survived the major housing crash that happened here, but it was also a recession across mm-hmm. many countries. This bank survived because it had three or more top female executives. And they had the foresight and the, like, you know, calmness to make smarter, non-rash decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they avoided all of that. But they were saying, yeah, one female at the top is a token, two is a minority, you need three
wow.
to make change.
Yep.
So like,
I'd say that's an interesting statistic.
Yes. I'd say that's an inspiring
yes,
statistic.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
So we need three women
yeah.
on every
yeah,
single
yeah.
board, at least.
At
not
least.
Like five.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your spiritual transition, like, when you were going from CAA to Albright, what was that like? Did you, like, have self-doubt? Did you feel like that was the right choice?
You know, there was a lot in between.
I mean, gradual, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so it was from, like, being 25 to Albright, which was last November, really.
Mm.
You know, I think it's one, finding your voice, and I think that starting even before Albright Doyen really helped capture a voice. I also was going through a divorce at that time, so I think that is a whole other voice that comes out, right? I think there's strength that comes from both sides of, like, being a woman, starting a woman's company, starting a company, period, learning how to speak finance, which is, like, a whole, its own
Oof.
Language.
Yeah.
And then also being a single woman again in your mid-30s or early 30s, I think they all come together, which I think for me, from a spiritual perspective, I feel reborn.
Yeah.
Which feels cheesy, but I actually feel that way.
Yeah.
I have a spiritual voice like I haven't had ever before. And I'm so, I also think it's your 30s. I give zero fucks. And it's just,
yes.
sorry, I don't know if I can curse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah. And it's great. And it's amazing. And it's a freedom.
Yeah.
Hell
wow.
Yes.
You just said so many words I resonate with because mine was like, a rise in my voice as well. Literally adopted this mantra, no fucks given. Leah even cross-stitched it for me.
Yes.
And that was at the same time I was gaining my voice through these female friendships and lifting each other up. Then I had my, what I call a divorce happen.
Yes.
8-year relationship
then
ending.
It's a divorce.
Yeah, it's a divorce. And then becoming a single woman with that newfound voice and all those things coinciding.
Yep.
And that feeling like freedom became such a priority to me that I now maintain in future relationships and prioritize.
And you feel more, I mean, at least I feel more myself than I in terms of, because when you enter those, by the way, when you enter relationships of any kind, if it's like a female friendship, if it's a partnership in business, it's a partnership as, you know, partners, like I think you have that confidence and that freedom in yourself. So you walk
once you have your voice.
Exactly,
yeah.
You come to the table in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know I got myself, and at the end of the day, it's all that matters.
Yeah.
And so for you, that spark was the shoot with Annie Leibovitz and realizing that that women raise each other up.
That they can. Kind of. And that there's that scarcity is not, you know, I think also growing up in entertainment and in the advertising too, because I was really at the kind of cross section of both, that there's this kind of scarcity model for a long time where it was there's one woman at the top and or X woman at the top and there's not enough room. And so instead of pulling women up, it was kind of like holding tight, like, this is mine, don't touch it.
You know?
And that's the truth is, the more of us there are, the better. And so that, to me, when I saw those conversations kind of happening live in front of me, was this light bulb of, like, wait, there can be many of us up here. And especially when you hear Gloria talk, and it's like a lullaby of feminism. And, you know, you're just kind of swayed by her. But then hearing it and seeing it in actuality and action was just incredibly powerful.
What is she like?
I don't get starstruck. And I'm like, hope she never listens to this.
I hope she does. I know.
I hope she does. I 100% hope she does.
Hey,
I'm just like literally probably blushing talking about it. You know, she's somebody that I remember the first time I met her and I was just like fangirled so hard. This was like 5 years ago. And I was just like, you're great. Super impressive and strong point of view. And now we've gotten to do a couple more things. But even still, and you know, she calls it like it is. We did an event with her about a year plus ago. And there were some things about the event that I wasn't super happy with. And about it just doesn't really matter. And she called it out. And she said it to her. And I was really happy she did. Because it needed to be called out. And it was really powerful. And it actually has shaped my thinking of how we look at the future of the business entirely.
Amazing.
Which I think is incredible. And, you know, she's 84 now or 83, and she's got better style than I do. And she's amazing. And,
wow. So, that's so cool.
She has an aura about her, and it's the most zen, like, earth mother, badass aura. Like, she's awesome. She's lived.
She's on our dream list to have on this podcast.
She's amazing.
Do you consider yourself a witch?
Yes.
Or does that, what does that bring up for you, witch? Or
you know, I think alchemy is a really powerful thing. And I think that we as women have this like ability to have alchemy or to
we just learned what that is last episode.
But I think that's somewhat witchy, right?
Yes.
Creating something from nothing and completely new. I mean, it's also science, but I think it's that actually that intersection of science and let's call it sorcery or whatever it might be. And I think that's a really interesting intersection of the world that that exists and that's tangible magic in a way. And I think that's what I think of in terms of witch and whatnot and like being a witch. Like I do think I'm able to create, you know, have an alchemist approach to a lot of the things I do in my life.
So that inner power type witch.
Inner power and able to create something from nothing and be able to recreate different things from two entirely separate things. Oftentimes it's humans coming together and, you know, forging, connecting people or just business even, you know, it's like recreating new things.
That's awesome. Do you have any practices like gratitude or cards, incense?
You know, I should have more. I journal a lot.
That's witchy to us.
Yeah, I'm a big journaler. I do love, what is it?
Palo Santo.
Oh, God, I was going to screw it up. I like this, but I'm not, I don't do it.
Basic witch, exactly.
And then do you guys know, you must know the House of Intuition.
Yes, exactly.
You're like, so I'll do that with some girlfriends every once every 6 months probably.
Do you get like a candle? What do you get?
So I'll get my cards read.
I do
a full reading.
Cool.
Full reading. And I actually was just at a retreat in New Mexico and did a reading there too, which was
super
interesting. It was on old Native American grounds where there used to be a witch doctor and all of this stuff. So it was super sacred. So it was really intense.
Would you share what your reading was or is it?
No, I mean, it's fine. It was interesting because some of it was like, you're tired. And I was like, thank you. Like, yes, ding.
Yeah.
There was one of like, you're wearing yourself thin, which I think we probably can all relate to at points. Another one was about romance. And again, this is where I kind of, I'm like, and she was like, you are having trouble. I was dating somebody at the time and I was not really sure about him.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, you're not, this is not it. Like, this is not your thing. She's like, but you're about to meet somebody really important, but it's not for a couple months. Like you need to basically go to a dressing room and try on what fits for a little while.
In a date, like metaphorical dating.
Exactly. Exactly. Like apparently I need to try on different types.
Okay.
That's next on the agenda.
Okay. Nice.
So, yes. And she said, be okay with your alone time while you're trying this out. It was a lot of like, yeah, and that, yeah. And it was kind of those auras around a lot of it of like, because the, and then there was like the sword thing. This is me and my version of knowing what
sword thing.
Yeah. That's the specific term. So that of like just overworking yourself.
Yeah.
And then there was some bits about family, you know, as we all have in there. Yeah. So
totally. Yeah. Cool.
Well, yeah. Cause I was going to say you guys have some cards here.
Yes. These are not tarot. These are goddess guidance oracle cards. But it kind of works the same way. So give these to you.
I love this.
Okay. These are Tasha's cards.
I love Leah's nails right now.
They're I love that sound red. Too.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys both look fabulous.
Thank you.
So what do I do?
Okay. So shuffle them.
Okay.
And while you're shuffling, I just want chat. What do you want to ask? Do you know what?
What do you want guidance on?
Mm-hmm. What do I want guidance on? Am I going to survive the week? No.
Good ask that.
Let's see. It's Wednesday.
Okay. Great. Well, with my move coming up to New York, I just want like some sense of like, what do we think's coming?
Okay.
You know, in New York. Okay.
Love that. Okay. Oh, actually, sorry. I give those back to you.
Okay.
Let's have you fan them out.
Okay.
Just in your hand.
Okay.
And then flip them to your heart. The faces are towards your heart. And we're going to do a deep inhale and we'll all think about that question.
Okay.
And we'll hold it at the top.
Okay.
Your energy feels good. I'm smiling.
This. This is so great.
I'm seeing myself in Central Park.
So far, so good.
Butterflies around
me. I was seeing West Side. I don't know where you're planning to live, but I was seeing lots of trees
Very
on the West Side.
West Side.
Upper West Side.
There's going to be some things happening on the West Side. So.
I love seeing
Siege, quiet time. Take some quiet time alone to rest, meditate, and contemplate.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So this is very similar to the last reading you had, right?
Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
Okay. Could you describe the picture and the colors?
So it is a woman that is shushing with her one finger against her mouth, wearing a lovely garb, like a cloak with a, what is it, a hood?
Yeah.
And I can't speak today. that is just, yeah, all blues and green auras. It feels relaxing. It feels soothing. It feels like lavender.
Matches the color of the Albright magazine we have in front of us.
It's so true.
Yes, it does.
It feels like a relaxing card for quiet time.
Yeah.
I love the vibes of it.
Cool. Let's find out. Message from Siege. Shh, dearest one, quiet your mind. Breathe and let go of words, worry, and plans. That just made me really want to breathe.
Yeah.
Go into that space of silence deep within you, that vortex of peace where the world doesn't enter. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to retreat in silence and spend time alone. I'll lovingly help you rejuvenate and recenter yourself. Don't try to make any decisions now. Just allow your mind to be at rest. You'll know soon enough when it's time to take action. But for now, quiet your mind. Rest.
Love that. And heard.
I'm going to leave here and make an appointment for a massage.
Yes. I just got one yesterday.
Nice. Ugh, the best.
I think what this card is saying is you're tired.
Is that where the dark circles?
No, I'm kidding. No, you look amazing. But
Okay, various meanings of this card. Go on a retreat.
Okay.
Ooh. Listen more and talk less. Avoid loud noise and sounds. Well, you're going to New York, so good luck.
Maybe that's what you need to carry with you into New York.
Meditate. Surrender mind chatter to heaven. Know that you're more sensitive to noise now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my read is that, like, to not worry about the move.
Yeah.
To just, like, go within. You have everything you need within. Mm-hmm. You've already lived in New York, right? So you have...
like 21, you know, college
way
21,
different.
Which is slightly different.
This is going to be so much better.
I hope
Hello. Yeah.
Probably have more money now, I hope.
Yeah, slightly. Yeah. I work for a startup. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Okay, let's read about Siege. The Gnostic goddess Siege is considered to be the great silence or void from which all creation sprang. Talking about creating something from nothing.
Yeah.
Yes, Siege. Siege reminds us that words create duality, and that in silence we find our true origin and self. Quiet is omnipresent power that gives birth to wisdom. Just as the Gnostics hold that Siege is the mother of Sophia, the goddess of wisdom. Siege teaches us that our roots are in the silent void of the universe and that it's important for us to reconnect with silence regularly.
Love that.
Love.
I mean, this is so important. So cool this message is like following you.
Yeah.
And it's so reaffirming and relaxing because it means you don't have to do a thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Like that's so great.
Just need to actually step back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's actually interesting too, of like listening and quiet. Mm. I think it's something that is, I know, hard for me, but I think it's harder and harder to do in the world we live in, and just listening and the power that comes in that is so real.
Love that.
I love that too.
This is awesome.
When it was like, stop talking, start listening. I just thought it was funny because we're on a podcast. We can't do that right now. But
so I'm not going to talk the rest of the time.
Yeah.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, could you do something to end the reading? So like hug the card, kiss the card, whatever you feel right.
Hold it to my heart.
Love
just
that.
Feel it. Believe it.
Awesome.
And go book a massage.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? How can our listeners find you and Albright?
So come join us. Come check out the club. We're going to be open in July. It's going to be amazing.
In West Hollywood.
In West Hollywood on Melrose Place. We've got three stories. We'll be in New York in Q1 of next year. It's www.albrightcollective.com. So you can kind of learn more.
And for listeners in the UK?
For listeners in the UK, it's same thing, albrightcollective.com. Okay. And actually, we just opened our Mayfair property, which is five stories. We've got two different restaurants in there, podcast room, spa, fitness, two terraces, loads of amazing programming. We've got a pitch day over there for young, or for, it's not even young, you can be any age, but for women to pitch for their businesses in front of a room full of investors. We're going to do it here too.
Amazing.
We're taking on new members. Membership is different prices in the different cities, but it's all on the website. And then our founders have their new book out called Believe, Build, Become, which is on Amazon now, which is just a guide basically on how to, a guide of skills and different learning lessons and insights on career success and how to get to where you want, which is awesome. And I'm going to send you guys a copy.
Thank you. Love it.
Yes.
And then we like to end every episode with a basic blessing. So something we're grateful for.
Yeah.
It can be anything.
I'm grateful for Ty bringing you two together.
Rachel,
ditto. Boyfriend, and he's probably listening. He's such a sweetie, and he gives me hope that there are nice men out there.
Enlightened men.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They do exist.
And any men who are listening, I feel the most important thing is just being open to learn, because that's a huge quality. And Ty, he recognizes he doesn't know everything, but like from the start, he was like, emotional intelligence, I don't know what that is. I think maybe I have a little. I want to know more. Like, just a willingness to learn. That's all I needed to hear. Yeah.
And you're like, done.
I was like, yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, Ty, when are you setting me up with somebody?
Yeah, Leah too. No, I have him on working for Leah, so I'll get him working for you.
Great.
Love it.
Amazing.
Oh, man. I'm grateful.
Go.
I was just going to say, I'm grateful for the women leaders like Mama Gina, who wrote Pussy, that, and you and Albright, that are setting examples so we can see it, so we can be it.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. And you slightly stole mine.
Okay.
No, totally fine.
We're on the vibe.
Yeah. No, I'm grateful for women that like you guys that are giving other women platform to speak and I think kind of raising the global consciousness. I think that, you know, together we can change the world, and we are changing the world, and I'm deeply grateful for all the women on this journey that, you know, we're doing it together, because we could not do without one another.
Yeah.
So.
Yes! It's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Women.
It's a way to like, and by the way, best way ever to end like a session. Like,
yeah,
it's so
right?
nice.
Yeah. Makes you
gratitude.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much
thank
for coming.
Thank you for having me. This is a blast.
Mm-hmm. 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 Basic witches.
Basic witches.